putting America first and holding the powerful accountable. Sean Hannity, weekdays 6 to 9 p.m. Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Welcome back to the Kirby Wilbur Show. My name is Jason Matera, filling in for Kirby. I want to read you this. Since Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez burst forth as the Democrats' mascot, she's been a near nonstop gaffe machine. Telling jokes is like boxing. You have to hit people when they are off balance. Ocasio-Cortez lives off balance. So where are America's funny people? A million lazy jokes about Donald Trump and not a single witticism left in the chamber? Just late last week, Ocasio-Cortez tried stalking Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. One problem. She pulled a freshman move and went to the wrong office more than once. Woman is not bright. Now, imagine Sarah Palin did this, right? Just imagine going to the wrong office twice. In July 2018, Ocasio-Cortez said unemployment is low because everyone has two jobs. In a November 2018 interview with Jorge Ramos, the freshman rep supported Bernie Sanders' massively expensive $32.6 trillion health care plan. When Ramos asked her how she plans for the country to pay for it, she incredulously said, "You just pay for it. You just pay for it." Yeah. Let's see. She is called climate change an existential threat, the greatest existential threat since World War II. Of course, forgetting the entirety of the Cold War and the war on terrorism. Recently, at an MLK forum, she said the world is going to end. It is done. Finito. In 12 years, if we don't address climate change. This is from the title of a piece called "Why Aren't More Comedians Making Fun of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez?" A great question. So we decided to bring on the author of that piece in the Daily Caller. His name is AJ Rice, and he is the CEO of Publius PR, which is publiuspr.com, the website. And AJ happens to be someone who was, he was in my wedding. So no favoritism here. None at all. None at all, Mike. No favoritism. But AJ, who was also in my wedding and also an astute political observer on many things besides AOC, is joining us today on the Kirby Wilbur Show. What's going on, my man?
What's going on, brother?
So why aren't more comedians making fun of AOC?
Before we get to that, I got to say, there's plenty of comedians willing to make fun of your wedding, for sure. So your old college roommate, Nick, are writing a book on that as we speak.
That's good. That's good. Well, that's good.
As far as Ocasio-Cortez, before we get to that, I thought I was on to talk about the history of the Winter Olympics. And
you know, speaking of history, Mike, when do I announce the winner for this day in history? When am I supposed to do that?
Well, you could do that whenever you like. Well, we'll just do it right here. Congratulations to Ken and Puyallup.
Ken and Puyallup. Ken, you get a pocket constitution, a copy of the complete book of retirement by Brian Evans. Breakfast or lunch at 4:44 at Sunbreak Cafe. You get other stuff, but the big one is They Shall Not Grow Old tickets at Pacific Place. You get four for January 28th. So, AJ, just that brief interruption. We have to, you know, stick to protocol.
Congratulations, Ken. Congratulations. Can you take someone nice?
Yes. Not AOC. Ooh. Imagine going out to dinner with her. Oh.
Yeah, you don't want to take her. Although, speaking of Mal's widow, anyway.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, you know, America's a melting pot. And, you know, I want to always believe that that's a good thing. And I think it is. However, I think there are some limits to assimilation. And I've been toying around with this idea that whether or not assimilation destroys humor, whether it destroys comedy, Like if I turn on the late night show, if I get four or five or six, you know, white heterosexual guys, Conan and the two Jimmys and Seth and Stephen Colbert, and they're pretty much all reading from the same song sheet every night. I mean, you could have one writer for all of these guys. None of them apparently can find anything humorous about this buffoon from the Bronx, the notorious AOC. So I figured I'd ask the question, considering some of the stuff she's done makes Sarah Palin look like Albert Einstein. So where are the jokes? I don't see any jokes about this woman.
You know, and you mentioned just a handful of these gaffes. Really, every single day, there's a gaffe. I mean, even today, was it yesterday, I think, she got into this Twitter spat with the Washington Post fact checker. Because I don't even know what she was making some stupid claim. She said that she said that Amazon and Walmart don't pay minimum wage, which of course they do, right? It's minimum wage. And she made a bunch of other preposterous claims, and she was called out. And now we know if you're called out by the Washington Post fact checker, I mean, your claims have to be really out there because they're trying to massage the truth as best as possible to make left wingers look good. And she's even getting called out by them because I don't know. Does she not? There are some people who say, well, she's like a carbon copy of Donald Trump. She just says whatever comes to mind on Twitter. She's just spouting it off. But I think that's really unfair.
Minus the $9 billion he acquired by being a real estate tycoon.
Exactly. Because he actually accomplished something.
Correct. I mean, everything from, I mean, he's had his hands in, you know, five and at the top of his game in five or six different industries beyond real estate, as has his family. This person, you know, I don't know, you could probably walk into any faculty lounge or feminist studies or English, English literature at Brandeis College, you know, classroom in the country and find, you know, 500 or 600 of these people. So, you know, to me, I mean, look, that piece could have been 700 pages long. It could have been, you know, a Tolstoy novel with the amount of gaffes. And yet, no one seems to be taking notice. I mean, Tina Fey had to come out of retirement from making bad movies 5 or 6 times to reprise Sarah Palin. So I'm just stunned. She's been put in this sort of comedy scene space. And, you know, this is a target-rich environment. And yet, these comedians who all hang out with each other have assimilated themselves into this sort of left-wing herd mentality where they can't see a joke. They can't see something funny. I mean, the laziest comedy in America is goofing on Donald Trump. So, you know, we're experiencing a wholesale lack of creativity here.
And that's on purpose, is because comedy at some point has shifted from not pointing out the absurd or making fun of something that should, regardless of ideology. In this case, it's comedy has become furthering a left-wing perspective, and that's why maybe occasionally they'll make fun of someone, but by and large, both barrels are going to be focused on those who are conservative as opposed to someone who is, as you called her, the buffoon from the Bronx. I'm sorry. That's just an objective. I bet you Democrats on Capitol Hill are just flabbergasted. They are perplexed that this person is in their caucus. She has no idea what she's talking about, what she's doing. She's going out there calling billionaires immoral. Oh, these are immoral. We have to have guardrails against them. It's just people are immoral. Like, what? Excuse me? They're immoral? You're immoral. The more money you have earned. Listen, what is, by the way, AJ, I know I'm going to ask you to play a psychologist here on the radio here. I never go to bed thinking about Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, Warren Buffett. It never even enters my mind. I don't even care. I rarely ever think about these people unless I read their name in the news and, you know, whatever. This woman, she is obsessed with people who have been successful. who have made more money than, listen, most people will ever come in contact with, it's fair to say, in human history, ever. The creme de la creme, and this woman is just obsessed with money she did not earn. She's entitled to resources that she did not earn. And where did, I mean, is this just a product of academia?
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's an entitlement. It's a product of academia and the media. It, you know, Ronald Reagan used to say, you know, a poor person never gave me a job, right? So when she, I've got problems with some of the people you named on other issues, but the amount of employees that Microsoft and Amazon and Walmart and others have that are in the demographic of the people that are probably in her district in the Bronx, I mean, she should, you know, at least understand the basics of that. I mean, a lot of liberalism across the board of all generations has always been predicated on envy, on, you know, why does he get to have a nicer car? Why are her shoes better? Well, maybe because they work their ass off for it, okay? Maybe, you know, yeah, people rip Trump because Frederick Trump, his father, gave him $1 million to start with, turns it into $9 billion. So, yeah. This is the only place in the world where you can be a self-made billionaire. I mean, Bezos, to me, scares me a little bit, but he started out selling used books in a garage.
Oh, out of his garage. Yeah, I mean, there's plenty to criticize him on, but the fact of how he accumulated his wealth is not a place of criticism, because he's demonstrably made everyone's lives much more easy and efficient. So, AJ, I want to get your take on this. I was reading this story to Mike, the producer, earlier. It's from Como News, local news here. And it's from a state Senate bill that has come up. I kid you not. The title is Senate Bill. This is state Senate now. Senate Bill would ban dwarf tossing at bars in Washington State. Dwarf tossing.
Wait a minute.
So, dwarf tossing contest would be banned in Washington State under a bill sponsored by State Senator Mike Patton. He's out of Spokane, Washington. It's Senate Bill 5846 would ban dwarf tossing at bars and strip clubs and end the activity, which Patton says demeans and exploits those of smaller stature. So, AJ, have you ever been engaged in dwarf tossing? And have you ever seen any dwarf tossing?
Well, if that ever comes to Virginia, I'm going to have to take a cannon off my roof. I didn't realize Washington State had a epidemic of dwarf tossing.
I didn't know that either.
I'm kind of wondering why I'm not moving there immediately.
Mike, where are these places that do the dwarf tossing? Because I have to see this for myself.
You know, I wish I knew. I'm going to have to find that out, because That sounds pretty entertaining. I mean, like, we've seen that in movies before, right? You know, it's like they're, like, in the harnesses with the handles, you know, usually getting thrown up against a wall made out of Velcro or something. But I don't know if there's any places around here, but
I've seen midget wrestling before, which I guess is similar. But, AJ, I don't understand what, I mean, maybe we'll have this guy on at some point.
We need one of those tech companies in Washington State to invent an app so that we can all find where the dwarf tossing's happening. Okay, you know, mark it up on a map. This is a dwarf tossing bar. This one, because you have to hang out there. I've actually seen dwarf tossing in person in a bar once in Philadelphia. So, look, all dwarf tossing.
How far can is it like javelin tossing for the Olympics? Like, what's the mechanics of it involved?
It's more like throwing a spare tire.
Okay.
All right. Look.
AJ,
I'm glad with all the problems in Washington State, taxpayer money is going to...
Yes, his priorities are right. This guy's priority. No more dwarf tossing. Lastly, AJ, before we let you go, NFL's first female cheerleaders to make Super Bowl debut in Atlanta. Male cheerleaders. Yes. For NFL's first male cheerleaders to make Super Bowl debut.
What, wasn't the 43rd president of the United States a male cheerleader?
A B.O.?
At Yale.
Oh, yeah. No, Bush.
I think he was.
No, he wasn't.
Look that up. I think there's a presidential example here on display.
No, but he wasn't a cheerleader. He just helped with stunts.
Are you sure? He might have been like the base or the people that catch.
Well,
the,
that's what I'm saying. No. The base, that's fine. But I'm saying this is a male cheerleader. They're going to have pom-poms. They're going to be doing the twerking and stuff. They're actually cheerleaders now. So how excited are you?
Well, I think the Seahawks fans and the Eagles fans could both agree we're glad we're not in the game. No, we wish we were in the game. No, I'm super excited. I'll definitely be rewinding it and taking screenshots and texting them to you.
That's good. That's good. I look forward to those texts. All right. AJ Rice, CEO of Publius PR. It's publiuspr.com. He has an article in the Daily Caller. Look it up. Why aren't more comedians making fun of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? Great read. AJ, thank you, my man. When we come back, what should Donald Trump do now that the government shutdown is winding down? I have some strategy for him, if they'll listen. And did he cave? Do you think he caved? Some people say yes, Donald Trump is caving, and they are upset from the right. If you're one of those people, let me know. 888-312-5757. 888-312-5757. Jason Matera here, filling in for Kirby Wilbur.